Hello, I'm Ian, a volunteer reader on the Black Country Talking News. This week's edition for Wednesday, the 15th of July, 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightless Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon, your narrator for this week's edition. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. On this week's edition, we have Christine, Pete, Mina, Ian, Helen, Talking Book Steve, Flashback Roger, Kez, Angela, and of course me, Simon. Included this week is a roundup of local news, our weekly quiz, a Talking Book review, we'll hear from Queen's Cross Network in Dudley, our flashback section where we look at this week in history, football reports on both the Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, the weather for the weekend and next week, environmental and sustainability ideas with Kez, an update from Beacon, plus a new music quiz to end. But what about last week's music quiz? How did you get on? Well, here's Pete to recap and to give you the answers.
Thank you, Simon. So the answers to last week's quiz, where we gave you a song with a missing word and asked you to fill the word in. So the first one was from 1952. It was Al Martino and Here in My... Well, the word was heart. That's what we missed out there. So Here in My Heart, Al Martino, from 1953. Winifred Atwell and Coronation Rag was the answer there. 1954, Frank Sinatra, Three Coins in the Fountain. And from 1955, Bill Haley and his Comets, Rock Around the Clock. You knew that one, didn't you? And from 1956, Anne Shelton, Lay Down Your Arms. Okay, so those are the answers. All the questions were sent to us from Andy Colston, so thank you, Andy. And Andy sent a few more later on, so we'll have another music quiz at the end of this week's edition.
Thanks, Pete. I got about one on that, you know, a little bit before my time. Anyway, let's start off with some local news now with Ian and Angela, but first up, it's Christine.
Leaders across Wolverhampton are confident they will be able to take any surges in coronavirus cases. Chiefs in the city said they can overcome the threat of the pandemic by working together with other partners. It comes as Wolverhampton was named as a potential hotspot for the virus, which could lead to a local lockdown. But the notion was dismissed by leaders who said it wasn't correct, with cases in the city remaining low and stable.
The opening of the £160 million designer outlet in Cannock has been delayed from this autumn to early 2021, bosses have confirmed. Roadworks outside the MacArthur Glen Designer Outlet, West Midlands, are nearly finished, and construction of the development is on track to be completed this autumn. But the opening of the site has been moved back to earlier next year as a result of the impact of coronavirus on brands set to open in the outlet. About 1,000 retail jobs are expected to be created when the site opens.
Plans have been launched to build nearly 20 homes on vacant land near Stourbridge. Ruskin Properties Limited have submitted an application to Dudley Council to build 17 dwellings on land off Hickman Street to Timmins Road in Nye. A design and access statement submitted with the plan states, "Our proposal seeks to release the site's development potential and create a new high-quality residential environment sitting harmoniously with existing housing and commercial uses. It will create a new, high-quality residential development that makes better use of the vacant site and its sustainable location, and a chance to deliver a scheme which enhances the townscape. A decision on the plans will be made in the coming months.
Council bosses and police have put pen to paper on a new joint agreement to tackle unauthorised traveller encampments in Dudley Borough. The new measures aim to make it quicker for Dudley Council and police to deal with illegal encampments on public land. At the same time, the council is pressing ahead with a travellers' transit site in Budden Road, Coseley, to further strengthen powers to move travellers on from public land. The new temporary transit site is expected to be up and running by August. The council will be responsible for the day-to-day running of the site. The Managing Unauthorised Encampments Joint Protocol between the Council and West Midlands Police will act as a guide to working together to best manage incursions with a coordinated response. Council bosses and police signed the new protocol this week. Dudley Council received planning approval for the Budden Road site in 2018. The plans were shelved while the Council carried out further extensive searches for an alternative site. But the plans for the temporary Coseley site were put back on the table earlier this year after exhaustive searches for alternative sites. Sandwell already has a site in place, and Wolverhampton and Walsall are also looking at potential sites, increasing pressure on Dudley Council to avoid a displacement of unauthorised encampments from elsewhere in the Black Country. Evidence from Sandwell suggests that the site will be used extremely rarely and will not cause disruption to the lives of the local community. The Coseley site will be monitored closely, with council bosses keen to reassure local residents who have previously expressed concerns about the proposal. The council is currently spending around £150,000 a year on legal fees and clean-up costs.
Sedgley Conservative Club will no longer face a licensing review. West Midlands Police had requested Dudley Council review the licence after officers reportedly found people in the venue on a Saturday night in May. All pubs and licensed premises were closed at the time as part of lockdown regulations aimed at halting the spread of COVID-19. Council bosses say police have now withdrawn their application asking for a review, after the club agreed to install CCTV cameras inside the venue. The matter had been due to go before the licensing committee.
Thanks, Ian. There's more local news later, but now an update from Beacon with Helen.
I hope you're keeping well, and I would say enjoying summer, but I'm not sure the weather has realised what season it's meant to be at times this week. On the subject of summer, we start this week's Beacon update with a reminder about our amazing summer raffle. For the price of a posh coffee, you could win one of three fabulous prizes and help Beacon to continue to support those living with sight loss. Sign up now. It really could be you who wins. Head to www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Beacon Summer Raffle to get your virtual ticket, which is just £2 per number. Good luck. Now, as you know, we've slowly been reopening some of our shops in recent weeks, in line with the government guidelines on coronavirus. This past week has seen the reopening of our lovely Penkridge shop. If you haven't been and you're able to get out and about, then you should pop in. It's a wonderful little store and our team will be so happy to welcome you. Opening times will be 9 o'clock till 3:30 p.m. to enable the team to clean the shop at the end of each day. And from July the 20th, the shop will be open between Mondays and Saturdays. We'd like to thank everyone for their support with the reopening of our shops. As you know, we've had to do things a little differently to make sure we stick to the coronavirus guidelines to keep us all safe. One of the changes we've had to make is to ask anyone making a donation to one of our shops to confirm that neither they or anyone in their household have had any COVID-19 symptoms within the past 14 days. For that reason, we can't accept donations left outside our stores, Any items that are delivered to us in that way sadly need to be disposed of. We really welcome your good quality donations, but please bring them into our stores when they're open so we can ensure it's safe for us to take them. And if you'd like to donate to Penkridge, we really need you to call in advance as we haven't got much storage space on the site at all. You can also find out more about how to donate goods safely to us via our website, www.beaconvision.org. Now, for something completely different, and in the words of the great John Bon Jovi, we're halfway there. That is, we're halfway through the year, and we have officially completed 5,543 miles. That's well over halfway towards the 10,000 miles for the Beacon Virtual Fundraising Challenge. That means we're right on track to complete the 10,000 mile challenge by the 31st of December. And we would like to thank everyone who has signed up to take part so far. Anyone can join. And it's really easy to get involved. It costs £10 plus a booking fee to take part, and £9.50 is donated to the Beacon Centre. For more information about the Beacon 10K Challenge and how to sign up, follow the link. It's www.beaconvision.org/10K. That's www.beaconvision.org/10K. You can get fit and help Beacon at the same time. If you don't fancy that though, there are many other ways you can support us. For example, if everyone in our community donated £5 by text, we'd have enough to keep going for another year. Or if you wanted to create your own fundraising event for us, we can help with everything from setting up a donation page to promoting your efforts. Email supporters@beaconvision.org if you've got any ideas. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, Ellen. Time for some more local news now with Ian.
A campaign has been launched to raise £30,000 for a monument to health workers in the Black Country. Councillors in Dudley want a monument at Russell's Hall Hospital to honour the efforts of NHS staff, carers and other key workers during the coronavirus pandemic. Donations are already flooding in, with construction firm Interserve handing over £5,000 and Dudley College giving £500. Organisers are hoping to get local businesses, football clubs and universities involved in funding the project, as well as members of the public. The project was a brainchild of Upper Gornal and Woodsetton councillor Kieran Casey. He said it was great to see that the fundraising campaign was now up and running.
Bosses at Wolverhampton's Lighthouse Cinema say they have no plans to reopen until they receive more information from the government on its £1.5 billion support package for the arts. The cinema has been closed since lockdown began in March, but chiefs are holding off on announcing a reopening date. A campaign, Save Lighthouse, has started up last year in a bid to help the struggling cinema, which is a lifeline base for many community groups, after it lost a crucial funding source. And the coronavirus pandemic has also hit the venue hard financially. Last month, it received a residual grant from the British Film Institution and National Lottery to help during lockdown.
50 firefighters have tackled a blaze at an industrial estate in the Black Country overnight. West Midlands Fire Service received several 999 calls reporting a fire at a factory at the Canalside Industrial Estate off Wedgbury Road in Briley Hill shortly before 4 a.m. on the 9th of July. Residents in the area had been advised to keep their windows and doors shut due to smoke. A spokesman for West Midlands Fire Service said they received more than 50 calls reporting the severe factory fire in the early hours. The fire was out just before 7 a.m, but crews remained on scene throughout the morning. A large fire has also ripped through a steel door factory in Dudley overnight on Sunday the 12th of July. Around 40 firefighters were called to the blaze at Dove Steel Doors on the Dudley Central Trading Estate. West Midlands Fire Service advised people to stay away from the area and paramedics were also sent to the scene, but nobody was injured. The cause of the blaze is being investigated. The fire happened just 300 metres away from the site of another recent fire, which destroyed much of a former school building. That blaze at the former Sir Gilbert Claughton School on Blowers Green Road is believed to have been the result of an arson attack.
The site of a former foundry in Oldbury, which has become an eyesore plagued by fly tipping, could be bulldozed to make way for over 200 new homes. An application to redevelop the former Hunt Brothers Griffin Foundry on West Bromwich Street is expected to be agreed by Sandwell's Planning Committee. Taylor Grange Limited and Lovell Homes are asking for permission to build 152 houses and 82 apartments in a move seen as a major boost for the nearby Oldbury Town Centre. If accepted, the homes will be split between two sites located on either side of West Bromwich High Street, covering a total of 14 acres.
The efforts of the NHS staff at Black Country Hospital during the coronavirus crisis have been recognised by the Prime Minister. Boris Johnson thanked workers at Russell Hall Hospital for their hard work and bravery in helping battle against COVID-19 in a letter to bosses. The PM also said he was sorry he was not able to visit the Dudley Hospital during his recent visit to the town, where he announced an investment package to try and lead the country to recovery, and hope to do so soon.
Thanks, Angela. Time for our weekly quiz now, so turn over to our quizmaster, Mina.
Yes, I'm back again. Time to test you again on events that happened on this week in history. Now, as always, you will find the answers in our flashback section coming up with Roger later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Here we go. Question 1. What comic article was first thrown during a silent movie in 1913? Question 2. What is the name of the spaceship captained by Jean-Luc Picard? Question 3. How many prisoners were broken out of the Bastille in Paris in 1789? Question 4. The first handshake in space was between astronauts of which two nations? Question 5. Perry Spencer discovered microwaves, but what was his cooking invention first called? And finally, question 6. In 1955, Walt Disney opened Disneyland in California. But what was the name of one of the news reporters at the time? Here's a clue. He later became president of the USA. Now, keep listening for the answers. If you miss them, don't worry. We'll let you know all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Thanks, Mina. All the answers coming up in our flashback section with Roger, but let's turn to local news now with Angela.
No date has been set for the reopening of Technohall Pool, as fears have been sparked it could potentially remain shut over summer. Wolverhampton Council has been called on to open up the popular facility, allowing youngsters to make the most of the sun. But the chiefs in the city have confirmed there is no date for the reopening of the popular attraction, due to the lack of government guidance surrounding the issue. It comes after the pool, situated in the heart of Technohall Hall, Upper Green, was closed last year for repair works, after consultation on whether it should become an outdoor gym. More than 95% of the 3,796 responses to the public consultation rejected plans for the gym and decided to save Technohall Hall Pool, which reopened on August 1st last year.
A section of a major Black Country road will close completely to traffic later this month as work to remove a railway bridge on the anticipated metro route gets underway. Those travelling along Sedgley Road East in Tipton over the summer are being asked to leave more time for their journeys and to follow diversions as part of the road will close from July 27th. Public transport users are also being advised that bus services in the area may run on amended routes. Pedestrian diversions will be in place as footpaths beneath the bridge are temporarily closed. It is hoped that the closures will be lifted in time for the return to school in September.
Businesses in town centres across Dudley Borough are being consulted on measures put in place as part of plans to keep people safe during the coronavirus pandemic. Dudley Council bosses are keen to get the views of local traders about how effective measures are after being installed recently. Feedback from shops will be used to finely tune the measures, which include physical barriers, posters, signs, and online resources. They have been introduced to make pavements wider and also give traders and shoppers advice on social distancing and keeping safe. Letters have been sent to businesses in Stourbridge, which is the first of a number of towns to be consulted. The town has already seen minor changes to the original plan to pedestrianise the High Street in response to helpful feedback from the public and local businesses. Measures have so far been put in Hales Owen, Briley Hill, Stourbridge and Dudley, and more recently Lye and Sedgley. The council will be consulting traders in those areas in the coming weeks.
City of Wolverhampton Council has appointed a contractor to build the first new council homes as part of a major transformation of the Heath Town estate. Energy and Regeneration Specialist, NG, will build a mixture of 40 two-bedroom and four-bedroom council houses across three sites on Hobgate Road and one site on the Tilf Cross off Cheverel Rise. They will be the first phase of a total of more than 200 new homes to be built for rent and sale on the estate over the coming years, with the council set to develop nine sites in total, and WV Living putting in place plans to build on a further five sites. NG are expected to start on site in the coming months. It follows an extensive demolition programme of the vacant buildings and is part of an ongoing £120 million transformation of the estate, which has also seen existing residential blocks undergo major improvements by Wolverhampton Homes and the creation of three new play areas and a football pitch. All of the new homes will also have their own car parking space provided.
Early demolition works on Phase 2 of Wolverhampton Railway Station's multi-million pound transformation are well underway. Phase 1 of the new station opened to the public at the end of May, and contractors Galliford Try have now started pulling down the old parcel shed prior to the full demolition works starting on the old station main building to make way for construction of the rest of the station. The development works, part of the £150 million Wolverhampton Interchange programme connecting bus, tram and train in the city centre, have been cleverly designed in two phases to ensure the works do not impact on train services from Wolverhampton. The new station building, opened under Phase 1, includes six ticket vending machines, new British Transport Police, toilet accessibility and baby changing facilities, three retail units ready to be fitted out, and train crew accommodation.
Thanks, Christine. There's more local news later, plus a catch-up with our local football clubs too. But now it's over to Paul Astley at Queen's Cross Network in Dudley.
Hello, everyone. My name is Paul Astley, and I work at Queen's Cross Network. Queen's Cross is a vibrant and busy community-based hub in Wellington Road, Dudley. The hub provides support to people who have a physical and sensory disability and who live in the Dudley Borough. This covers the areas of Central Dudley, Sedgley, Coesley, Briley Hill, Kings Winford, Wordsley, Stourbridge and Hales Owen. At the current time, the hub at Queen's Cross is closed to attendees and visitors owing to the COVID-19 lockdown situation. However, we are offering a service called the Pleased to Meet You helpline. This is a friendly support helpline aimed at helping people who live in the borough and who may need some support with shopping, medication, access to some other support services such as fault prevention and telecare, or if people are just feeling lonely and isolated and need someone to talk to. They can talk to us, of course. To give you an example of some of the other things we can help with, we have helped people to contact someone who could repair household appliances like washing machines if they break down, or maybe even help to contact a dog walker for pet care. Whatever the request, if we can reasonably help, we will try our very best to do so. If you feel our team of adult social care staff could help you in any way, then you can call the Pleased to Meet You helpline on 01384 812761. That's 01384 812761, or you can email us at communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. That's C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y supportserv at dudley.gov.uk. There is no E at the end of the word serve. Community support serve at dudley.gov.uk. The Pleased to Meet You helpline is open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. We would like to hear from you. In fact, you could say we'd be pleased to meet you. If you'd like to know more about services that we offer at Queen's Cross Network, please visit www.dudley.gov.uk and search for Queen's Cross Network. Or you can Google Queen's Cross Network Dudley. Alternatively, if you use Twitter, you can search hashtag Queen's Cross Network, all one word, and learn about the exciting things we offer to people who have a physical and sensory disability at our fantastic centre. You can contact Queen's Cross Network through the Pleased to Meet You helpline or by calling 01384 813460. That's 01384 813460. Thank you for listening. My name's Paul Astley, and from everyone at Queen's Cross Network, I wish you all well and hope that you will stay safe.
Thanks, Paul. Time for our final look at the local news now with Christine.
There were huge cheers from around the Black Country as the region became an official, world-famous UNESCO Global Geopark. After submitting its final stage of the application to UNESCO last year, the Black Country Geopark Project Group has been waiting with bated breath to hear whether it would be successful. And on the 10th of July, more than 10 years on since the project was first conceived and discussed, it became a reality. The Executive Board of UNESCO has confirmed that the Black Country has been welcomed into the network of global geoparks as a place with internationally important geology because of its cultural heritage and the active partnerships committed to conserving, managing and promoting it. This means the Black Country is now on a par with UNESCO global geoparks in countries stretching from Brazil to Canada and Iceland to Tanzania. Geopark status recognises the many world-class natural and important cultural features in the Black Country and how they come to tell the story of the landscape and the people that live within it. In the case of the Black Country, the significant part it played in the Industrial Revolution has been at the heart of the bid. More than 40 varied geosites have been selected so far within the geopark that tell its story as a special landscape, but more will be added as the geopark develops. Geosites include Dudley and Wolverhampton Museums, Wren's Nest National Nature Reserve, Sandwell Valley, Red House Glass Cone, Bantock Park and Walsall Arboretum. Key partners involved in the geopark include Natural England, the Canal and River Trust, the Wildlife Trust for Birmingham and the Black Country, and the Black Country Consortium and the Black Country Local Enterprise Partnership. To find out more about the Black Country UNESCO Global Geopark, people can go to www.blackcountrygeopark.org.uk. Follow at BC Geopark on Twitter or the Black Country UNESCO Global Geopark Project on Facebook.
A healthcare company in the Black Country has backed a football club after it agreed to sponsor their kits for the next 2 years. Paycare, based in Wolverhampton, will have its logo displayed along with the message "Thank You NHS" on Bilston Town Football Club's kits. It will feature on the home and away shirts, as well as the kits of the youth team and under eights, along with advertising around the grounds. The shirts have been made by Midlands-based Macron, who are responsible for including the NHS message in recognition of key workers amid coronavirus. Club chairman Denise Frankham said, "We are delighted that Paycare has confirmed it will be continuing its support of Bilston Town FC and will be the club's new kit sponsor for the 2021 season and the 21-22 season."
A Dudley Borough nature reserve that attracts thousands of visitors from across the country every year is set to benefit from a new warden space and education centre. Site work for the new base has begun at Salt Wells Nature Reserve, and the base is expected to be completed this winter. Renowned for its geological importance, extensive bluebell woodland and wildlife, the site is set to receive National Nature Reserve status later this year. The building will provide a much-needed base for Dudley Council's wardens and people who volunteer at the 247-acre green space. It will also act as an education centre for school groups and community activities and sessions.
It's Boston being from the Black Country, and people are being urged to shout loud and proud about who they are and where they come from during this special month. A number of events normally run throughout July as part of the Black Country Festival, with Black Country Day taking place on July 14th. Dudley Council was gearing up for a series of events and activities, but the coronavirus pandemic has meant the annual festival has had to run differently. Instead, using the hashtag BC Festival Online, a series of videos and images will be shared online via the council's social media channels to mark the special month. Borough residents are being urged to get involved, but to do so safely by putting up flags, sharing photos, and saying why they're proud to live in the Black Country. Councillor David Stanley, the Mayor of Dudley, said, "These are very strange times where normal life is very restricted while we all work together to keep the borough safe. But as Dudley is the historic capital of the Black Country, it is still really important that we mark such an important event as the Black Country Festival. We may not be able to hold the type of celebrations and events that we normally would, but there are still plenty of ways that people can show safely their pride at who they are and where they're from. Get your flags up and share your photos on social media about why the Black Country is special to you using the hashtag. I look forward to seeing them all." As part of the festival, the Mayor is also asking the borough's creative public to produce the picture or photograph that best captures the spirit of the Black Country. The winning entry will be framed and will hang in Pride of Place in the Mayor's parlour later this year. There is no criteria for entries, but they must be submitted and available for display in the council house. The Mayor's Parlour is used for civic occasions, welcoming high-profile visitors to the borough, as well as community groups and charities. Hundreds of people will be able to view the winning picture. People are being asked to submit their entries on social media via hashtag BC Festival Online, and the Mayor will choose the winning design to hang in the parlour. Entries can also be emailed to kappa.events@dudley.gov.uk. Entries need to be in by the 14th of August.
The timetable for developing a new blueprint for how land across the Black Country could be regenerated in future years has been revised due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The draft Black Country plan was due to go out for consultation this autumn, but this will now happen in summer 2021. The delay provides the region with another opportunity to identify potential sites for housing and employment developments which haven't been put forward to date, particularly those in urban areas. The current plan, previously known as the Black Country Core Strategy, lasts until 2026, and Dudley, Sandwell, Walsall and Wolverhampton councils are currently in the process of developing the Black Country Plan to 2039. The plan is about making sure enough homes are built, there's the right homes in the right places for people of all incomes, and it supports a thriving economy for future generations by creating jobs and improving transport and infrastructure. It also balances the need to plan for new homes and jobs with the need to continue to protect the important green and natural areas for people to enjoy. Once adopted, the strategy will outline where new homes and businesses could be built in the four Black Country boroughs to 2039.
Thanks, Ian. You'll find the answers to the quiz questions from earlier now, so it's over to Flashback Roger.
This is our flashback section.
where we look at events that happened this week in history and where you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. On July the 13th, 1913, the first ever pie thrown in the face was done during a silent movie called A Noise from the Deep, in which actress Mabel Normand hits Fatty Arbuckle in the face with a custard pie, starting a long comedic tradition. Now you listen closely to this one. On July the 13th, in the year 2305, Jean-Luc Picard was born. This fictional captain of the starship USS Enterprise was played by Patrick Stewart. Jean-Luc Picard and Patrick Stewart share the same birthday, but just 365 years apart, as Patrick Stewart was born in 1940. On July the 14th in 1789, the Bastille in Paris was stormed. It was the start of the French Revolution. It was attacked by a mob demanding weapons and the release of political prisoners, and it signalled the start of the war. Remarkably, though, the number of prisoners who were being held was just 7. On July the 17th, 1975, saw the first handshake in space, where US and Soviet astronauts met after successfully docking their respective crafts, Apollo and Soyuz. The gesture marked the beginning in the softening of relationships between the USA and the USSR. On the July 19th, 1894, a Percy Spencer was born. This American scientist was the inventor of the microwave oven, and he did it while he was working for the Raytheon Company in America. He stopped for a minute in front of a magnetron, a vacuum tube that generates high-frequency radio waves for use in radar, and he noticed that the chocolate bar in his pocket was melting. This inspired him to invent the microwave oven in 1946. He named his invention at the time the radar range, which was a combination of the words radar and range, of course. July the 17th, 1955, Walt Disney's theme park reopens in Anaheim, California. Future US President Ronald Reagan was one of the anchors for the live TV broadcasts of the opening ceremonies. The televised ceremonies were produced by Art Linkletter, who was celebrating his 43rd birthday that day. And lastly, July the 18th, 1918, South African President Nelson Mandela was born. He became a Nobel-winning civil rights leader. He spent 27 years in prison on Robben Island for fighting apartheid. He and F.W. de Klerk shared the 1993 Nobel Peace Prize. Well, that was a bit more interesting this week. Hope you enjoyed it. See you again soon. Hope you do well with the quiz.
Thanks, Roger. We'll run through all the answers a little bit later on if you missed any of them, so don't worry. In the meantime, promotions, Champion League places, it's all getting a bit tense. So with news from our local football clubs, it's Ian.
Wolves ran out comfortable 3-0 winners against Everton at Molineux on Sunday, thanks to goals from Raul Jimenez from the penalty spot and Leander Dendonca either side of the interval, before Diogo Jota superbly wrapped things up. Daniel Podence, making his Premier League debut for Wolves, impressed hugely and won the penalty that Jimenez finished to break the deadlock. Dendonca then nodded home Pedro Neto's free kick and Jota made the most of an outstanding Ruben Neves pass. Wolves' quest for more European football has been made tougher after Manchester City's appeal against a UEFA ban was successful. Initially stopped from competing in either the Champions League or Europa League for 2 years, for breaching financial fair play rules, City have now had the decision overturned by the Court of Arbitration for Sport. It means they are free to play in the Champions League next season, and as a result, the race for Europe in the Premier League is now even tighter. So with City back in, the dynamic has changed for Nuno Espirito Santo's Wolves side. As it stands, the top four in the Premier League will qualify for the Champions League. Fifth will get into the Europa League and so will sixth. That place passed down because of City winning the Carabao Cup. And if Arsenal do not win the FA Cup, seventh will also get into the Europa League, but will have to go through the qualifying rounds, as Wolves did earlier this season. If the Gunners do win the FA Cup, whoever finishes sixth will have to go through the Europa's qualifying rounds. Wolves are currently sixth in the top flight and still in with a shout of reaching the top four, with three league matches left to play. They could also reach the Champions League through winning the Europa League, with them currently midway through a last 16 clash with Greek-sized Olympiakos. Wolves play Burnley away on Wednesday the 15th of July, followed by a home game against Crystal Palace on Monday the 20th of July, with an 8:15 kick-off. Slaven Bilic has told Albion's players to be brave and embrace the pressure that comes with being in the race for automatic promotion. The Baggies saw a 5-point gap to third place Brentford cut to just 3 after they were held to a 1-1 draw at Blackburn on Saturday. The Baggies dominated the opening 45 minutes against Tony Mowbray's side. Charlie Austin twice went close before Filip Krovinovic finally gave them the lead with a volleyed finish in the 41st minute. Blackburn levelled through Joe Rothwell before a frantic end to the match where either side could have snatched the points. Albion play Fulham at home on Tuesday the 14th of July with a 5 p.m. kickoff, followed by an away trip to Huddersfield on Friday the 17th of July with a 5:30 kickoff.
Thanks, Ian. So it's all to play for then, and will all be decided within the next few weeks. Time for our weekly Talking Book review now with Talking Book Steve.
This week I've chosen to review a book called Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. This particular audiobook is read by Stefan Rudnicki, Harlan Ellison and Gabrielle Decure. It lasts about 11-12 hours. So again, get your money's worth. And so in summary, the book, in order to develop a secure defence against a hostile alien race's next attack, government agencies breed child geniuses and train them as soldiers. A brilliant young boy, Andrew Ender Wiggin, lives with his kind but distant parents, his sadistic brother Peter, and the person he loves more than anybody else, his sister Valentine. Peter and Valentine were candidates for the soldier training programme, but didn't make the cut. Young Ender is the Wiggin drafted to the orbiting battle school for vigorous military training. Ender's skills make him a leader in school and respected in the battle room, where children play at mock battles in zero gravity. Yet growing up in an artificial community of young soldiers, Ender suffers greatly from isolation, rivalry from his peers, pressure from the adult teachers, and an unsettling fear of alien invaders. His psychological battles include loneliness, fear that he's becoming like the cruel brother he remembers, and fanning the flames of devotion to his beloved sister. A real sci-fi thriller. And as you're probably all aware by now, I'm a bit of a sci-fi nut. So this really got me going. And for anybody else out there who enjoys sci-fi, I'd encourage you to give it a listen. Really great book. Get in touch if you do listen to it. Let us know what you thought, as always. And if there's any other books that you'd like us to review, don't hesitate to get in touch with the team here and we'll make that happen for you.
Thanks, Steve. Now, did you get any of the answers to the quiz then? Let's run through them all now with Mina.
As always, our questions are about events that happened on this week in history. So how did you get on? Let's go through the answers. Question 1. What comic article was first thrown during a silent movie in 1913? The answer? It was, of course, the iconic custard pie. And don't we all live to see a good bun fight? Question 2. What is the name of the spaceship captained by Luke Picard? Answer is the starship USS Enterprise. Question 3. How many prisoners were broken out of the Bastille in Paris in 1789? The answer is just 7. Question 4. The first handshake in space was between astronauts of which two nations? The answer is USA and USSR. Question 5. Perry Spencer discovered microwaves, but what did he call the first cooker that he invented? The answer is the radar range, because a microwave generator, Perry's, magnetron is what make radar work. Question 6. In 1955, Walt Disney opened Disneyland in California, but what was the name of one of the news reporters at the time? Here's a clue. He later became president of the USA. And the answer is Ronald Reagan. Well, I hope you got them all right. I'm sure you did.
Well, one or two. Thanks, Mina. Whilst we're on the topic of quizzes, we'll also have a little music quiz coming up at the end of this week's edition with songs from the 1950s and 60s. Now, did you know that July is a plastic-free month? So with some environmental and sustainability ideas, here's Kez.
Since 2017, July has become known as Plastic-Free July. This is an international movement to get people thinking about how they can reduce plastic consumption in their life. So in this article, what I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about the move that I've made towards becoming plastic free and focusing really on single use plastics, because this is one of the easiest and cheapest ways to start removing plastic from your daily life. So I've spoken about some of the changes that I've made in previous articles, such as using a reusable water bottle, using a loofah to do my dishes with instead of a sponge with plastic on the top, and changing to solid shampoo and conditioner bars rather than liquid ones in plastic bottles. But some of the other changes that I've made that I've not spoken about are things like, for when I'm out at work for my lunch, I no longer buy food from a supermarket and I take my own lunch, because I was finding that if I was buying sandwiches, crisps and a chocolate bar, the crisps and chocolate bar would come in single-use plastic, and on the sandwich packet there was normally some form of plastic that couldn't be recycled. So I moved to making my own sandwiches at home and taking those with me in a lunchbox and reducing my plastic that way. Also, I have moved to using crisp products that come in compostable packaging, and looking at chocolates that come in either a compostable or recyclable packaging as well. So it's not necessarily always the easiest to find these, and sometimes it means ordering stuff in bulk online, but there are options out there for things like that. Also, for becoming plastic free, I've started making more food myself from scratch. So things like bread, and also I absolutely love dried fruit. So if I buy this from a supermarket, it comes in a single use plastic package. If I do it myself, then if it's, for example, apples, the only thing that gets wasted is the apple core, and that goes into my compost bin anyway. And so, you know, I'm removing an item of single-use plastic. So these are just a couple of examples. There are loads and loads of examples out there about how you can start reducing the amount of plastic that you're consuming, particularly single-use plastic. But what's really important to remember is that it's about doing it on a time scale and a budget that suits you, and finding alternatives that work for you.
Thanks, Kez. Now, did you know that St. Swithin's Day takes place on the 15th of July each year, and according to traditional folklore, whatever the weather is like on St. Swithin's Day, whether rain or shine, it will continue for the next 40 days and 40 nights. Is that right? To find out, here's the weather with Mina.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed the weather last week. The weekend was definitely lovely with all that sunshine. Now, for the week and weekend ahead, it looks mainly dry, warm, as we move into next week. The sunrise and sunset times for next week are: sunrise is at 5:08 a.m. and sunset is at 21:21 p.m. Now, on Friday 17th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 23 degrees with medium UV and pollen levels. On Saturday 18th of July, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees with medium UV levels. On Sunday, 19th of July, we have light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees, UV levels at medium. Moving on to Monday, 20th of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees, UV levels medium. Tuesday, 21st of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees, UV levels at medium. And on Wednesday, 22nd of July, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees, UV levels again at medium. And finally, Thursday, 23rd of July, once again, sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 22 degrees and UV levels at medium. Enjoy the weather.
I'll do my best. Thanks, Mina. And finally, to test your music knowledge, here's Pete.
And to finish this week, another little music quiz for you. And as we did last week, we'll give you a song title. Going to miss out the word. I'll put the word what in. And all you have to do is guess the word. As always, no prizes, I'm afraid. Just that we'll give you the answers next week. Okay, just as they say, a bit of fun. So, from 1957, what's the missing word? It was All Shook What? Elvis Presley. From 1958, All I Have to Do Is What? The Everly Brothers. From 1959, Broken Hearted What? Sarah Vaughan. From 1960, Only the What? Roy Orbison. And from 1961, Hit the Road, What? Ray Charles. So there you go, just the missing words. Thank you to Andy Coulson for sending them in. And as always, we'll give you the answers next week.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!